from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for July 7th. Hi, it's Iris. July 7th. Pen and Health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from the Christian Mind Reset Substack. Lift up your eyes. What the Bible and neuroscience reveal about attention, hope, and the brain. Hi friends, you may have heard the term horizon gazing. It's become popular in neuroscience and trauma therapy circles. While the name is new, the principle isn't. When we lift our eyes from what's directly in front of us and look into the distance, we naturally broaden our field of vision. That can help quiet the brain's threat response and remind the nervous system that we're safe. I love that long before neuroscience described this, scripture repeatedly tells us to lift up our eyes. Next. Second, from Science Briefing. On the referential capacity of language models, an internalist rejoinder to Mandelkorn and Lindzen. Mandelkorn and Lindzen argue that language, model words can point to real, world things. This paper pushes back, saying that only a limited set of expressions actually do, that most LM output isn't truly referential the way human language is. The authors walk through why the model's sense and reference are narrower. The system learns patterns from text, not from direct experience, so its words lack the grounding humans have. Still, they note we have to check LM output for relevance and truth when we use it in interactive tools. For anyone building AI-driven interfaces, the takeaway is clear. Treat LM-generated text as potentially useful, but verify its referential claims case by case rather than assuming it automatically names real entities. Up next, third, from New Atlas. Our evolution from the ocean may not have happened as we thought. A new study that pulls together dozens of fossil specimens and modern genetic data reshapes how we picture the fish-to-land leap. The researchers used a comparative phylogenetic analysis, basically a big family tree linking ancient lobe-finned fishes with early tetrapods, and they found that many of the traits we thought were land only actually appeared in aquatic ancestors. What that means is the first four limbed vertebrates likely weren't sprinting onto dry ground. They were already equipped for a semi-aquatic lifestyle. Think shallow pools, mudflats, and occasional forays onto slick rocks. The paper points to a handful of well-preserved fossils from the Devonian that show limb, like fin bones and muscle attachments suited for both swimming and supporting weight. Because the evidence comes from multiple lines, morphology, developmental genetics, and stratigraphic context, the authors argue the transition was a gradual mosaic process rather than a single, dramatic event. It's a modest shift in our narrative, but it nudges the timeline toward a more nuanced, step-by-step evolution. So if you've imagined our distant ancestors as fish that suddenly walked onto land, picture them more as adaptable swimmers already testing the edge of water. It doesn't overturn the big picture, but it does refine the details we use to understand our own deep history. And then, fourth, from New Atlas. Space Force's high-powered electro beam nullifies hostile satellites. In a recent field test, the Space Force showed that its new ground-based system, nicknamed Metalens, can direct a high-energy electromagnetic beam at a satellite and temporarily disrupt its electronics. The demonstration was a single, controlled experiment, not a long-term study, so the results are promising but still limited. The beam is designed to overload a satellite's sensors and communications, essentially blinding it for a short period. Engineers reported that the target lost telemetry for a few minutes before recovering, which suggests the effect is reversible and not permanently destructive. Because the test was isolated, we don't yet know how the system would perform against a fleet of satellites or in more contested environments. Still, the proof of concept shows the Space Force has a tool that could complicate an adversary's use of orbital assets. Next, fifth, from FISE.org. The research group of Professor Katohiro Nomura, Tokyo Metropolitan University, in cooperation with the research groups of senior researcher Hiroshi Hirano and director Seiji Higashi of the Osaka Research Institute of Industrial Science and Technology, and associate professor Hiroki Takeshita of the University of Shiga Prefecture, has developed bio-based polyester amide S from inedible biorenewables that can be easily chemically recycled and exhibit better mechanical tensile properties in film and commodity plastics. New bio-based polymers exhibit excellent tensile properties beyond polyolefins. Up next, sixth, from FISE.org. Newly discovered mineral named for researcher Tyler Spano. A new mineral has just been added to the catalog, and it's been named Spanoi to honor Tyler Spano's work in mineralogy. The mineral itself is modest, tiny crystals found in a remote quarry, but the naming signals a meaningful acknowledgement of her contributions to the field. Spanoi was approved by the International Mineralogical Association after the usual suite of tests confirmed its unique chemistry and crystal structure. It's essentially a blend of calcium, iron, and silicate that hadn't been documented before. The discovery underscores how even seemingly small findings can reflect a researcher's lasting impact. It's a quiet reminder that Tyler's meticulous work continues to shape how we understand Earth's hidden gems. And then, seventh, from FISE.org, Q&A, harnessing climate investments to serve development goals. The research team, led by scholars at the University of Michigan and Hiech in Sweden, compared the latest climate finance pledges with the development needs of low-income countries. Using a mix of policy analysis and country-level data, they found that many of the promised funds are earmarked for mitigation projects that don't directly address the immediate health, food security, or infrastructure gaps those nations face. Because the pledges often come with reporting requirements and conditionalities, vulnerable states end up juggling extra administrative work while still lacking core resources. The authors argue that without clearer alignment between climate finance and development priorities, the pledges could actually deepen existing inequities. Their takeaway is simple. Climate investments need to be coordinated with development goals from the start, not retrofitted later. Otherwise, the well-intended money may end up being a strain rather than a solution for the countries that need it most. Next, eighth, from FISE.org, how an interstellar comet sheds light on universe's cosmic noon. Last year, an interstellar traveler entered our solar system. Some speculated that it was an alien spacecraft, but it turned out to be a comet, 3i of Atlas, and it provoked interest from astronomers and astrophysicists eager for insights into galaxies far, far away. Detailed observations from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, shot down the alien spacecraft idea, but recent NASA analysis holds clues about the comet's ancient and literally alien origins. Up next, 9th from FIES.org. Efficient method for preparing pseudo-pregnant mice promotes laboratory animal welfare. In biomedical research using mouse models, preparing pseudo-pregnant recipient females is a standard step in embryo transfer protocols. Conventionally, this process requires technicians to select female mice showing clear signs of estrus. Because only a limited percentage of mice naturally enter this stage daily, facilities often maintain a relatively large stock of female mice. Furthermore, group housing can induce the Liebeut effect, a biological phenomenon in which caged females suppress one another's estrus cycles, decreasing selection efficiency and requiring careful management to ensure animal well-being. And then, 10th from FIES.org, what everyone gets wrong about the modern job search and what actually works. Job searching has never been more accessible or more confusing. Platforms like LinkedIn, Indeed, and employer career pages let candidates submit applications with just a few clicks. What happens after they click submit, however, has become fertile ground for misinformation. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.